I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
This week on a special Valentine's Day edition of Meat and Three, we put a twist on the lovey-dovey holiday.
The mission statement is save the world through silliness and chocolate, and in parentheses, launch a chocolate bar into outer space. But I'm having some conflict on the board members with the parentheses. That's okay.
He cited that in his area there used to be 30 dairy farms and now there are 3.
You know, dessert was political, and what you had on the dessert table said more about you than other markers of success.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news and storytelling roundup wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Elena Santigade, and I've been your host for the past 2 years or so. As you may have noticed, we've brought a new host into the fray here at Cutting the Curd, Kara Warren. I'll still be hosting the occasional episode or two each season, or at least this next coming season, but as other commitments have taken priority for me, I'm very excited to be passing much of the hosting to Kara. We have a bit of a tradition when someone new joins the team. They interview the current host as they hit the ground running. In that spirit, I'm going to turn the mic over to my esteemed colleague and sit as the guest myself for today's episode. So, Kara, take it away.
Thank you, Elena. This is a funny bit. It's sort of like the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, you know, where they like switch time and space. I'm like, where am I right now? And how did I get here? Yeah. But now we're switching.
Yeah, it's not, you're in the host chair.
It's not even a swan song, I want to say. It's just like a pleasant, like...
Yeah, passing of the baton.
Right?
Yeah. a happy baton toss.
Happy baton toss? Is that what we're doing? Oh my God,
know.
If only Diane were here.
Yes.
What would that baton toss be like? we should go... As I was joking with my producer here, we have some... Hardballs, the Caciocavallos, and then we have the softballs, the little mozzarella balls.
I love it. I love, you know, as much as possible, using cheese themes for organizing thoughts is the way to go in this life.
I think for everything. It should be the way. It is the way, as the Mandalorian says. Side note for Star Wars fans.
And the way, W-H-E-Y.
Yes. The way. Oh, da-da-da. Oh, my God.
I honestly think that might be my first on-air pun.
I bring it out of people. I mean, I want to be a serious host, but I also want to be a little bit playful. So, back into the land of how long have you been doing Cutting the Curd for? Let's do some softies.
Right. So I have been on the show team, I think, for just about 2 years. I think it was 2 years ago, February, when I came into the mix with Greg. You know, Greg was hosting. Diane was doing the book review as she's been doing for years. So February, I kind of like started to phase in, and a few months later took the bulk of the hosting.
And do you still like cheese?
Of course I still like cheese. Talking about cheese on radio would not change that for me. Nothing, I think, would change it. Even sometimes my rebelling digestive system has not changed that.
We are all aging, and yes, there's more.
There are consequences based. Now.
I mean... I don't want to even get into it. I don't want to. And okay. So then there's a funny thing, kids out there. You get free pizza when you host this show.
It's true.
What is your favorite pizza at Roberta's?
You know, I was thinking about this question.
Very seriously, I'm sure.
I was. Because, I mean, this could, you know, spur a lot of judgment.
Mm.
And the first thing that I'm going to just be totally honest, the first thing that came to mind was, you know what? I eat at Roberta's all the time. I'm having the pizza a lot. But the one thing that I always have is the romaine salad here at Roberta's, which has remained the same, more or less, over the many years, and I think is one of the most delicious romaine salads around. And
get out of Dodge. Yeah, you get salad at a pizza place?
Well, I get salad before I eat my pizza.
Oh, my God.
And then what I will say is that I basically just eat the rotating pizza. Whatever pizza is new on the menu, I try it.
Oh.
So I haven't actually had that many pies, like, of the same pie here at Roberta's.
Oh.
I just want to taste whatever they're doing new. But I will always have the romaine salad.
It's a melange of pizza plus salad.
Tonight I ate the Millennial Falcon, which is a delightful pie. No mozzarella on that pie. It's a red sauce parm pie with pork sausage.
Get it out.
Delicious.
Oh, I've been trapped in the booth, kids.
Any
I got
pizza,
nothing.
If you put pork sausage on a pizza, I'm probably going to order it.
That's not kosher.
Yeah. No, definitely not.
Okay, then. Well, going back to show fun, what was one of your favorite topics to discuss on the show? Or what was like a theme that really ignited your flame, that really, you know?
Well, I think thinking back on the last 2 years and the episodes I've done, I think that I often come back to a couple of themes in my shows. I like talking about, I like talking more about the context in which we in which someone is working in cheese or is a cheese person. So sometimes I think that becomes an economic conversation.
Sure.
Of what is the economic context that you're kind of struggling with or doing really well with, or is the, you know, interesting element. And sometimes it's more emotional. And I think that I have the most fun in episodes where I could really get into one of those two contexts. Like, how is your emotional experience in this world of cheese? Or how are you grappling with the economic challenges, which are real and, you know, top of mind for so many people? So,
I mean, I mean, you are very good at interviewing. One of the recent episodes that I know everyone I've met has mentioned to me is the Adam Moskowitz.
Oh, yeah, our season kickoff this year.
That was quite a kickoff.
It was great. It was, talk about emotional honesty. I mean, that was an emotional context for a career in cheese and a moment in a career in cheese. Yeah, that was amazing. And I think, I mean, cheese is such a rich topic. It's like you could, one of the reasons I feel like I've loved working in cheese is like there's always more to learn. There's always more to discover. But, you know, in learning about cheese, it's really some of these other layers of humanity that you're learning about. And with Adam, it was a perfect example.
Yeah, I think that was one of your strengths for sure. As a person interviewing you, you took the business elements of some cheese making parts and then also wrapped in emotion. And I thought that's cool how you did that. I will have to see how I mature in this role, but I have to applaud you for that.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's one of those cool things. And in looking back at the history of Cutting the Curd, I noted that you asked Anne Saxelby once a question about how she developed her questions, and she responded with, she wrote her best questions
while bicycle ride, right?
On a bicycle ride in New York City.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. As a New Yorker, rushing. I would never do that.
Well, you do get a lot. I'm also a bicyclist. That's how I get around a lot in the city. And you do get ideas as long as you're not, you know, vying for too much road space and fighting for your life. Depends on your route. I'll say that.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, then my question is to you is, are you writing questions on a bicycle? Or are you, when do you do your best question writing? When do these things come to you?
I like this question because another theme I love just generally in talking to people is like, we're all human beings. We all deal with kind of like similar things every day. So I always want to know like, what's your morning routine? Or what do you do for lunch? You know, I always want to know like the simple things that everyone's doing, like how is everybody doing them? So I like this question. And for me, it's less glamorous than Anne's. I remember Anne's description was really vivid because she was sort of describing how she was like working her butt off, totally crazed, and would like rush on the bike to the studio. And that would be the first moment she'd be like, what am I even going to ask this guest? And she had brilliant ideas in that moment of kind of like near desperation. And for me, it's a more, I think, quiet background process. I got in a nice routine where I would kind of have a 3-week rotation on a show. So in week one, I would kind of like start to think really broadly, like, what is this show? What is my guest all about? What do I know about them? What are the ideas we could talk about? And I'd start to do research for about 2 weeks. And then it wasn't really till the third week. And in the research, I would write themes down, like kind of jot down, oh, you know, these are areas we could talk about. But then on the third week, usually like a Saturday morning over coffee, I would sit down and kind of the questions would quickly pour out. And so it's more of a process for me of doing a lot of background work and broader kind of research and then letting it marinate. I love like letting the little creatures in the back of my brain do the hard, heavy lifting. And then when they're ready to present their ideas, I sit down and I write the questions.
And voila, there it is. Yeah. I mean,
it's a nice rhythm.
It's one of those things that I'm starting to learn right now where I sense a good story in the cheesemaker. Mm-hmm. And I love the energy that comes from that. Like, this is going to be a great episode. I am going to learn something from this person. Mm-hmm. Are you going to miss that? Is there certain things with this? Yeah. I mean, what's next for Elena? You know, like, you know, that too, you know, you got to fill this. You got to, you know.
It's true. It has been like a nice, for me, it's been a great way to learn more about people, but to have those moments where I'm like really connecting with someone and also very in the moment, which is appealing to me. I think I spent a lot of time in especially my cheese career in the years that it was busier and more intense, that I felt like I wasn't in the moment quite as much, always planning for whatever is next or, you know, dealing with a shocking to-do list or stuff like that. So I think that part of the beauty of interviewing someone, and that could be for radio or for whatever, or even, you know, a conversation with a friend, is like kind of like knowing where you're going to connect with that person, but then also being really open to what are they going to, you know, they might say something that I can't predict. They probably will. And then what do you do with that? And that is the part I think I will miss, is like, how do I, that element of like, people will delight and surprise you, even if you have the best plan, or even if you think, well, I'm not so even excited. Maybe I have lost a little excitement for this theme of this show. You know, that could happen too. You plan a show a month out, and then by the time it gets there, you're a little less into the idea.
You mean a dud?
A dud. Now and then you have a dud. But the beauty is that even in the duds, there can be these little moments that are, you know, get to surprise you.
I've already seen that in one episode that I've previously recorded where I was like, that is a really romantic thing for that person to say. Mm. What a magical moment we're having. Like, what a connection. And I guess that is what the cheese industry is about. And then kind of folding in media to it, you really get another level to it. You know, I mean, you're amazing. You've consulted for many cheese shops. You've written a book about cheese making.
It's true.
Which is actually something I wanted to ask you about. A cheese making book. How do you even dive into that amongst all the other things that you're doing?
Like, well, the wild thing about that was that it was really based on the work that I did at the very beginning when I first got into cheese. I was doing a ton of home cheese making. I was just making all kinds of cheese in my apartment.
I did not know this about you.
Oh, yeah. I had a little funny blog called wannabemonger.com, which was...
Was this on MySpace, Elena? Where was this?
I think it was early Tumblr.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Before Tumblr became whatever it became.
Amazing.
I don't know. It sort of snowballed. And luckily, I kept copious notes, which, as any cheesemaker will say, I think that's the most important thing in cheesemaking, in a way, is like, make sure you document what you did or else your fabulous batch of cheese will only be a one-off. You know, you can never do it again. So the book came later on, but it was actually based on the work that I had done early on, but with a lot of perspective after having worked for cheesemakers, worked as a buyer, kind of like understanding more about the whole industry, which was fun to write that book as a, a primer for home cheesemakers, but also with a not so veiled goal in that I wanted people to really appreciate the value of cheese and to understand the work that goes into it by professional cheesemakers in order to make cheese that's consistently delicious.
Yeah, I mean, when I looked at the book myself, I said, oh, this is not for beginners. But it is for beginners in a way, but it's for people who really love...
For people who want to make cheese.
Who want to make cheese. Mm-hmm. Who have, a real urgency to make cheese and learn about it in the science-focused but right way to do it. Mm-hmm. So props to you for that.
Thanks. It's weird. It's strange having a book. It's like a little...
You're on Amazon.
It's very weird. It's like a little embarrassing. And it's also... This has worn off, but initially it feels like... very scary when you put something of yourself into a book like that and then it's out in the world. That's pretty frightening. But the sweet thing is that people now and then I'll get Instagram messages from somebody who made, some of the recipes in the book, or messages through my website, and people send me photos of the cheeses they've made, and that just blows me away when somebody writes to me and I don't know them and I'm like, what, you read the book and you don't know me?
I love that.
Shocking.
Oh, my God. All right. I have some follow-up questions for this, but we're going to take a quick break, listeners. I'll be right back with Elena Santigade, former CTC Cutting the Curd host on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Kara Warren. We'll be right back.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super-duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Welcome back, everyone, to Cutting the Curd. I have Elena here with me, former host of Cutting the Curd. Hello. I'm Kara Warren. We're on Heritage Radio Network. Follow us at Heritage Radio Network. We're back, and we were just talking about being a public figure in cheese and how that's a good and a bad thing. But, Elena, you have influenced the cheese world, I think, well. But how do you feel, the influence, how far do you think you've reached, or how does it feel? I mean, I think you've made an impact, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a hard question for me to answer, because it sounds so ridiculous.
I want to put you on the spot for that one, because I think, honestly, in New York City, you designed cheese counters, and I think it really led to other cheese counters. Like, for example, there's a sign that you created where it had three words on it. And for years...
A crowning achievement.
I did it the old school way, where you had like a paragraph that you expected someone from 20 feet away to read this intense story of cheese.
People don't read signs.
Oh my God, she let the cat out of the bag.
The funny thing is that I had learned that lesson in a previous career as a community organizer. For transportation advocacy, I was doing stuff on street design. Like, I know that people don't read street signs. So when I was like thinking about cheese signs, I was like, nobody's going to read all this text. How can I get people's attention?
I just wish I knew the trick earlier. Mm. So again, your influence then has gone far. And then also, like, I mean, we're not even mentioning the Women in Cheese group that you also established.
Yeah, great group. I think Women in Cheese has been in existence now for, it's like 7 years or 6 years. There's 100 women and over 100 women in that group. And the fun thing about that group, listeners, if you're interested in Women in Cheese and you're not quote unquote in the group, all it means is it's a listserv, and you can tweet at Cutting the Curd or Heritage Radio. We can get you on it. And it's mostly a New York City based group. And the real key is that it's an in-person gathering. So it's not a big online hub or anything. It's just a actual physically we get together and connect.
But still a great support group. Mm-hmm. So I brought all the feminism around and everyone to connect and kind of speak about the cheese. I mean, I would like to owe it to you. So enough of tooting your own horn. I'm going to go back to Cacio Cavallo's now. How do you feel about moving away from the cheese industry?
Yeah, I actually feel really wonderful about it. And that's not to say that I'm celebrating, leaving cheese or anything, but I'm... you know, I'm still involved in cheese in ways that are really meaningful to me. I teach a monthly cheese class at the Park Slope Food Co-op, which I love.
That's been doing very hippie of you, my dear. Years.
Yes, yes. Well, I am a hippie. So I love that. I'm on the ACS Education Committee, so I'm really happy to support the efforts of the conference and everything that goes into that. And yeah, I just, for me, it's been a wild ride. I feel really, really proud of everything I've done. And I also feel like it was a lot of hard work and a really intense, you know, nine or 10 years. And I think that there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in the cheese industry. And it's not that I don't think there are opportunities or interesting ways to grow. I think for me, I'm ready to kind of like open up a seat for others to, you know, to battle for the jobs that I would go after. But, and other things have caught my attention, you know, outside of cheese, and I'm excited about that, but I will always be an advocate for cheese. That's for sure.
So you're still going to be with ACS a little bit on the board. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm not losing you completely.
No. Nope. And, yeah, the education committee is great. We're working on the 2020 conference in Portland. It's looking amazing.
Are you excited for Portland? I think everyone's excited for Portland.
Oh, yeah. I'm always excited about Portland. But cheese conference in Portland, yes.
But that's what I mean. This is every year we go to a new town, a new place.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Right.
But then I get there and I'm like,
yeah, it's always interesting. It's always fun to see what's up with a new place. Yeah.
Learning about the culture. I mean, Richmond was fun. That was a surprise to me. Richmond, Virginia. Cool conference.
Yeah. Neat town. A lot of good food.
Yeah. So much good food. And a lot of cheese. But you know, what are you going to do? This is ACS. This is the love of ACS. Now, Diane. Stemps, as we call her sometimes.
Our beloved book review host.
Yeah. I mean, what about Diane? Will you miss the banter? Will you miss the wine cooler talk?
Well, the good thing is that Diane is one of my deep, close, personal friends. So I will have no lack of Diane in my life, having moved as I move away from my spot as host on Cutting the Curd. But I love doing shows with Diane. I think it's great practice for staying on your toes, for being ready for a curveball. And I feel like the shows that I've done with Diane are the funniest and most entertaining to me. I don't know for our listeners. I'm not sure if the shows are the most entertaining. But for me, those shows are very fun and very, very entertaining.
I'm looking forward to a Diane episode.
Oh, yeah. Get ready.
I'm not sure how loopy it's going to be, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm stoked for it.
I think this is a good prediction.
Yeah. Oh my god. Anyway, I'm getting the giggles and the goosebumps just thinking about it right now. My goodness. So, do you mind discussing your upcoming or your current day job that you're what's what the industry is?
Oh, and yeah.
How
of course.
You're helping people now outside of cheese?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And actually, yeah, for anyone in cheese, I'm always happy to talk about these themes around the cheese industry too. But yeah, I work for a budgeting app company called You Need a Budget, YNAB for short, among the devoted followers. And I'm a product manager for YNAB, which is a really creative role. It's a problem solving role. It's amazing to me how much from my cheese experience I'm bringing in to that role. You Need a Budget is software that's, you know, on the one hand, pretty straightforward, personal budgeting software. It's an app, but it's also a ton of support and education materials. And it's really a philosophy about how to approach not only your financial sort of picture and how you organize yourself financially, but in a much larger sense, it's sort of a transformative approach to like basically identifying your priorities in life and getting your dollars behind them. So in that sense, I know it sounds sort of like evangelical of me, but it really truly can be a life-changing thing. And it was for me. So I was a customer many, many years ago.
I remember you talking to me about this. Yeah. You were preaching it.
I've been a missionary for YNAB for many years because it did change my life in a very dramatic way. And I think I would not have had the cheese career that I had if I hadn't known how to manage that financially and, you know, take the stress out of big pay cut, which I took when I initially started working in cheese and continued to kind of make much lower wages than I would have liked to in living in New York City, especially.
It's a very hard side of our industry that I know you and I have both gone back and forth about. You know, when you have a passion for something, you want to do it, but you have to live somewhere too. You know, you got to pay a rent. So
right. So it's funny. It's sort of there's a sweetness there in terms of the fact that this tool helped me to really navigate the years when I was working hard and passionately in the cheese industry, and now I get to put that energy and passion into the tool itself and the app that is You Need a Budget. So it's really fun stuff.
And now she sails away into the sunset and she says goodbye, cheese forever.
No, never.
But you have a new I want to say animal, but that's not fair. It's giving it away then. But you have a new thing in your life.
Yes. So I have two new things, which are part of, you know, I think that just for the kind of like life hacking optimizer folks out there, I don't know what the Venn diagram is for cheese podcast listeners and like ultra optimizers in life. But for those of you listening, the thing that I've been trying hard to do over the last couple of years has been to get much more in touch with my priorities in life. And this has really come from my experience budgeting. Because when you're trying to think about where all your money is, what's all your money going toward, it gets deep quickly because you're like, wait, what am I actually doing? Or what do I want to be doing with my time? What do I want to be doing with my time now? And what about in 5 years? So for me, I was excited to simplify some things, and a big goal of mine was to get a dog.
Congratulations, finally. Mazel tov.
And we have a brand new puppy in my home.
Oh my gosh.
A Brooklyn Beast is how I like to think of him. He is 11 weeks old. His name is Seeger, named after my hero and folk hero, Pete Seeger.
I was going to say, is it? Okay, yes. Okay.
Of course.
But of course.
And he had a great reaction when we played him Little Boxes. So he's on the road to Pete Seeger fandom. But yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a simple thing. It's living with animals is fabulous. It's sort of a focused and quiet experience, and I'm loving it.
That's kudos. I'm not there yet.
I'm also very sleep deprived right now.
You guys can't see it, but Elena's eyes are a little tiny right now, and she didn't smoke any pot.
No,
so.
This is just natural bloodshot. That's what you're seeing right now.
Oh my God! Happy President's Day. No, just kidding. What was I gonna say? This is so interesting. No, this has been a great time. I'm so glad that you could come on the show and be here and kind of give me a foot in the door here at Cutting the Curd.
Of course. Well, it's very fun to be on this side of the mic. And Kara, I'm excited to listen as you go on your Cutting the Curd host journey. I know for me it was, you know, it just, you're going to settle in fast. You're going to have your own rhythm. It's going to be great. And listeners, I hope you're as excited as I am to listen along as the show grows and transforms even more into this new era.
Oh, thank you, Elena. I mean, I hope it's just like a Joan Rivers. I'm just going to do my best every week. I'm just going to say something ridiculous. Some of you might love or dislike, I don't know, but I'll just try my hardest. And that's all it can be, you know?
It's the best you can do.
Okay, last question to you. Is there a blooper? I feel like at the end of every fun film, there's a blooper. Mm-hmm. Is there a blooper moment that you want to just disclose to the world out there? Or maybe I'm asking something that's ridiculous.
On air blooper?
Okay, maybe you'll tell me later.
No, I'm trying to think. I mean, we're a live show, but editing can happen.
So yeah.
I'm trying to think, have we ever edited out of it? This might be a question for Our engineer,
Matt,
any bloopers, Matt?
I love to
mind? I think I got my shit together.
Yeah, I don't think that, I don't recall, I mean, I think the closest we've come to blooper moments have been when you get the three hosts together for the host show.
When I wrangle the
And then that's where, like, anything goes, who knows. But I still don't feel like we actually have ended up needing to cut anything out. It's just that sometimes the question that gets heard and responded to is not the question that was asked.
That sounds about right.
That is the best diplomatic way to put it.
Oh,
thanks,
man.
Matt.
On that note, yeah, that was great. A good hurrah. Perfectly perfect here with Elena. thank you and good night. I'm going to say eat more cheese, everyone. This is Cutting the Curd with Kara Warren and signing off with Elena. Enjoy.
Cutting the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat & 3.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.